everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with some good friends and my brother. welcome to the show. Doug's here.
Yo, good to be back after not being on for, what, about a week or so?
Yeah, about 2 weeks maybe, right?
2 weeks.
One or two.
Yeah, it's been a while.
The boys have not been feeling too good, me and Doug, of course, and but we're back in peak physical condition, so we're ready to do this. Clint is here.
Yo.
How you doing? Eric's with us.
What up, guys?
Not much. How was everybody's week? Pretty good?
Pretty fast.
Sweet. All right, guys. We are here. Gathered here today to discuss the bad guy. We're doing a Scott Hall tribute. He passed away in late last month.
Yeah, March 14th was the exact date.
Very sad, all big Scott Hall fans here, and we've just been waiting to be able to discuss the man's legacy. Can't wait to do it. So we're going to get into it, but before we do all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes, around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. When Smart is too drunk to be on the show, Eric usually fills in. well, that's usually how it works, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet?
Nope.
Box must have finally sent him to rehab. All right. Make sure you listen to them as the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Hollywood Hangout, mixler.com/Hollywood Hangout. Again, can be found on all major podcast platforms. Listen to us. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight we're talking Scott Hall. Next week is going to be an interesting show because we will be reviewing the April 14th, 1997 edition of WCW Monday Nitro. It aired live in Philadelphia. The main event was Kevin Nash and Lex Luger. Also had a Philadelphia street fight on there. It's going to be a fun episode to get into. Back when WCW was in the middle of an 83-week win streak. Then, of course, on April 22nd, we're going to be doing a retrospective on the feud between John Cena and Edge.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, anything else that I have planned after that. April 29th, I'm still working out the details of what exactly we're going to do, what it's going to entail. So I will keep everybody updated.
Sweet.
Listen to us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Unscripted Unlimited. We are going to do a retrospective on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That includes the comic book, the action figures, the cartoon, the movies, all different versions of them. I will, of course, be getting into how big of a scumbag I think Leonardo is, although he wasn't bad during the cartoons, but these latest movies and the latest cartoon, the Nickelodeon cartoon, really turned him into a fucking douche.
Isn't he the leader?
Yeah. And he makes
yeah,
sure
you can't
he
say that about me, though.
Raphael's the real one, anyway.
Yeah, Raphael's the better one.
No, he's not. He's a
hothead. Once they let Seth Green start voicing Leonardo in the newer cartoon, that's when it all went to hell.
I like Seth Green.
He's all right. He's better as Chris Griffin. And then, of course, listen to the newly renamed Stabcast.
Yes.
Formerly the Scaredy Cats, going through a name change. It'll air this Sunday, I believe 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right?
Yep, we're doing the new Netflix movie, No One Gets Out Alive.
Isn't that how usually the theme to our family gatherings?
Yeah.
Feels like it anyway. All right. Before I bury us even further,
you want to talk about Scott?
Scott Hall, right? Now,
yes.
Okay.
The bad guy. Very sad this man passed away. Storied career. He obviously went through a lot and had a lot of demons, but I think another thing we could kind of learn, he beat a lot of those demons with the help from DDP and the yoga program and everything. It's well documented, but Scott Hall, you know, he's been through a lot of stuff, but he seemed to really got his life together towards the end, and it seems like he went out with some peace. So I want to start out this episode with a moment of silence and say RIP to the bad guy. All right. Now, let's get into it. Clinith, what was your first ever memory of seeing Scott Hall on your television?
I remember mostly of the NWO. Let's put it that way. He debuted in WCW. The whole NWO debut in the AW, how everything was such a big blow-off. I had no idea what I was watching at the time. You know, I wasn't there, but one minute I'm watching WWE, and the next minute I see Razor Ramon on or Scott Hall on WCW programming. And that's when you – and I really figured out the whole jumping ship was a big thing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
that's my big memory about. He actually introduced me of what wrestlers do was doing now, jumping ship from company to company, back and forth, whatever you want to call it. That he introduced me to that. And that's one thing I did. And I'm proud to say that I learned about now.
Absolutely, Eric. What was your first kind of first memory? Of Scott Hall from back in the day.
My first memory that I remember is when the 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor Ramon on Monday Night Raw. That was the debut of Monday Night Raw, right, Doug?
It wasn't the debut, but it was in the infancy. It was May 17th.
Okay. Yeah, that's the first memory I remember of Razor and the 1-2-3 Kid when he beat him on Monday Night Raw. I thought that was a great moment. I thought once underdog story, because 1-2-3 Kid was so, I mean, smaller than him, and he just beat him. I thought that was pretty cool. So that was my first memory.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Dougie?
All right, so the first memory that I can actually remember actually watching on television, I remember the vignettes. Of Razor coming in.
Before they brought him in.
Because I remember seeing it, because I remember being heavily focused on WWF 92. You know, 91, 92. Hence the reason why I made us cover so many of the shows from that period in time. And I remember seeing the vignettes. And then I remember... The Superstars was on, and I remember him coming out for his debut. It was him, his first match. See, I remember the first match I saw him in was against Jim Powers. But according to legend, his very first match on television was actually against a jobber by the name of Paul Van Dale, who is responsible for, one of the people responsible for the birth of Corey Graves' new wife. For anybody that can't keep track, it's Paul Van Dale is Carmella's father.
Of course.
Wow.
So, he was the original opponent, but he was like the first opponent for Razor Ramon, but I always remember Razor. The first time I saw Razor, he was wrestling Jim Powers, who he was like the first. Jim Powers was like the top babyface jobber.
Right.
So like when they were bringing in guys that they wanted to be like top heels,
mm-hmm.
you had to go through Jim because Jim had a pretty good following with the crowd. He usually got his ass kicked. But he had a good following. He was Flair's first match on television.
Really?
He was Flair's first match on television. He was Jerry Lawler's first match on Raw. And, but he was the guy. And I just remember Razor kind of getting over. Razor beat the shit out of him. And I just remember him getting over and being like, okay, this guy is... First of all, he seems like an asshole.
Yeah.
And that's what six-year-old me is thinking. But it's just like, oh, okay. I can... I'm just like, ooh. But yeah, that's my first memory of it. Is, the infancy of the Razor Ramon character.
Absolutely. I'd say that my first memory of him, as sad as it is, but I am the youngest fella on here. My first memory of Razor is the first time I've ever seen him on TV. I watched him on the old tapes and stuff that you would burn and the DVDs you would get. So the first actual appearance of Razor that I've ever seen was the ladder match for Sean.
Right.
Because of that ladder match DVD we had. The first time I ever saw, like, in real time was in TNA.
Right. I mean, and that's like... again, I've seen early tapes of him. Like, I've seen his AWA stuff.
Yeah, me too.
But now, like, the real-time memory, like you said, it was the same thing with me. Like, I remember the Razor Ramon thing. But, yeah, like, you're old enough to where, like, yeah, TNA would be the first memory. Either TNA or when they did the NWA... NWO reboot in the WWE. I've seen a lot of his early stuff.
Right.
Okay. And, he was very good. And when he was in the AWA, Greg Gagne wanted him to be the next Hogan.
Yeah.
But at one point, and they were going to make him the champion, but Scott Hall, kind of having that business sense, realized, I'm on the fucking Titanic here. I need to get the hell out before, everything goes to hell.
No, absolutely. Razor had a lot of great moments. I think he's known for two really big things, right? NWO, Scott Hall.
Yeah.
And Razor, yep. Razor Ramon, which for those of you who don't know, it was kind of a Cuban-American style, like... A Scarface. He basically watched the movie Scarface.
He was Tony Montana.
He was Tony Montana. And that was basically his whole... It was his gimmick.
Yeah. Now, for a lot of people that might not know this, Curt Hennig helped him get there. Because him and Curt Hennig were friends because they were used to be in the AWA together. And he also... Him and Sean were also kind of buddies. But it was mainly Curt Hennig... that helped him develop the character, got him in there because Kurt was doing commentary at the time. He credits Curt Hennig for a lot of, getting him into the company. And the thing about Razor is, he started off as a heel, kind of gradually became a babyface.
Right.
and just, you know, kind of went from there. I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, he was a member of the clique. I think he was actually the most liked member of the clique, or the most likable.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask, though, right? I've heard a lot of fuck Scott Hall stories. A lot of jealous guys.
I mean, it would either be, it would either be him, or it would be Walton.
Yeah, I think it's probably more Walton.
Because
who hates him? Goldberg hates him.
Goldberg hates him.
Bob Holly doesn't have nice things to say about him.
No, Bob Holly doesn't. Bret Hart used to talk shit about him, but I think Bret and Scott kind of made peace.
Yeah. Shane Douglas hates him.
Shane Douglas is a fucking moron.
I mean, all these tunes might be changed now, you know.
Well, yeah, everybody's going to change their tune now because they don't want to sound like assholes.
But, yeah, I mean, he was known for some of the backstage stuff, but to me, he really proved that he was the guy in the ring. And I think he was the guy that, and he'll even describe himself like this. He was the guy, you wrestle him, and then you get to, like, Sean in the main event.
Yeah.
But you got to go through Scott first. He was kind of the benchmark, you know?
Yeah. He said it. He was on Bischoff's 83 Weeks last year.
Okay.
And he had told Bischoff and Conrad, you know, who are the more famous, you know, you and I, that he's like, you know what? Especially when they got to WCW, like when they had to do tapings and stuff. He was always willing to wrestle.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I love to wrestle. He goes, Kevin hated it. Nash didn't like to wrestle. He goes, but I did. So I would go out there and I would wrestle. Like if they needed somebody to do a taping or if they were short a guy and I happened to be there, you know, I would raise my hand and be like, I'll go out there and I'll wrestle. Or like if Kevin and I had to do a tag, I would do the majority of the work. Kev would just stay out there until it was time for him to jackknife somebody. But he's like, I love to wrestle.
Yeah, and it really showed, and I think he was the worker of the clique. Even though, like, Sean's, I think, probably the better performer.
Yeah.
I'd say Razor's better than Triple H, but Triple H is really good. They're all good. But I'd say that he was, like, the worker out of all of them. Just because he was always the guy, like, he would go out and put on a match with Hector Garza. When maybe, you know, Nash really wouldn't. Or like, he seemed, like, even though they might say he has an ego, he never won the world title. He only really fought for it, like, once or twice in WCW.
In WCW, he only had one world title shot in both the WWF and in WCW. And by the way, it was Bret at the 1993 Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And it was Sting at the 98 Uncensored.
Yes.
And
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And he loves both those matches. Even though the Sting match, he was not in a good place.
Yeah.
But he loves both those matches because he loves both guys.
Yeah.
Because they could work and they could really carry a match. And both guys who use a certain leg lock, by the way. But, you know, he had gone on and even said, you know, those are the only two world title shots I got, but those are two of my favorite matches.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the – especially if you look at Uncensored 98, which, by the way, is a very underrated pay-per-view, which will hit 25 years next year, so we might end up covering it.
Yeah.
The Sting-Scott Hall match, it was the world title match, but nobody really gave a shit. But it was actually one of the best matches on the card.
Yeah.
Because both guys could go, even though Scott Hall was not in the right headspace, he knew enough to say, be like, all right, I can't make Sting look like an ass.
Yeah.
I can't make him look bad. He's the world champion, for fuck's sake. I got to go out there and I got to do this because he is also my friend.
Right.
So Scott Hall, he could put everything in the back of his mind, even though he's not in a good headspace, when he wanted to, when his head, when somebody could screw his head on straight for like 10, 15 minutes, he could go, even if he wasn't in a good headspace.
Well, yeah, I think he was like, but he was like the worker's worker. He could, he was better after five martinis, and some guys were sober, you know?
Yeah. One thing, and then I think we should probably get Eric and Clint in here, unless they've fallen asleep already. When they did the whole him being an alcoholic storyline in the fall of 98.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
He wrestled, and I want to say the date was either the 21st or the 28th of September. I think it was the 21st, or it may have been the 28th. Anyway. He wrestled Billy Kidman, who's coming off a cruiserweight title victory, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he did the thing. He was stumbling around. He was drinking and all that. That was actually a really good match because even though Kidman was young and was just starting to kind of get that push, and Scott won the match. But you could tell, even though, like, they were trying to make Scott Hall look like a drunk, he was still putting his best foot forward, and he made, even though Kidman lost, Kidman looked really good in the loss because Kidman proved he could work with the bigger guys.
Yeah.
Okay? And Scott Hall, again, not in a good headspace. But if you tell him, look, we really need you to do a good job and sell for this guy, and just make it, even though you're going to beat him, make him look good. And he did.
Yeah. Now, Clintus, I want to go back to you. I know your first kind of images of him was in the NWO. But going back and looking at the Razor Ramon gimmick, were you a fan of that?
I'm telling you, I wasn't a fan. I enjoyed the match, but I wasn't a big fan of the Razor Ramon gimmick more than, I think, Scott Hall. But I feel like Scott Hall, he was more himself than Razor Ramon, was just wasn't for me. I enjoyed the matches he had Razor Ramon, but not like the whole Razor Ramon gimmick. I liked Scott Hall better. I think he portrayed that better than the Razor Ramon.
I wanted to take that. Quick and shove it down. Nope. Tribute, Sharon. All right, Doug. Were you a fan?
What did you say?
Nothing.
You just called me a jerk.
No, I didn't call you a jerk.
You should laugh at me, Clintus.
Because Sharon started talking shit. I said it's a tribute show, for God's sakes. Just kidding.
All right.
What'd you think? As a little kid seeing Razor, how'd it make you feel? Give me some electricity, Doug.
I actually liked it. I had, I collect the Hasbros, okay? And Razor was actually the last Hasbro that I remember, like, being able to buy in the store.
Okay.
As far as, like, the gimmick, and first of all, as a little kid, like, you know, your belief is, okay, boo the heels, cheer the baby faces. And Razor Ramon was a heel at that time.
Yeah.
So I had to boo Razor Ramon.
You could try to make it.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Sorry.
Anyway. Okay. So, I liked Razor, like, as he became a babyface, but, you know, as a heel, you know, I had to boo him because that was my job as a wrestling fan.
Yeah. But then he became babyface and you loved him, right?
Exactly. Because that's what you were supposed to do. See, nowadays, like, it's more complicated now because, like, you have, like, the cool heels and all that.
Yeah.
And wrestling fans are really, really stupid now. So, like, you have people that go out there and think the Young Bucks are the greatest thing in the world when all they really are is a case of syphilis. But, like, back then, you know, there was a clear difference of who the heel was, who the babyface was, and you did your job as a wrestling fan. And, you know, you cheered the babyface, you booed the heel. See, people are lucky nowadays, that, like, or people are lucky, especially nowadays, that, like, it's not like an actual job that you could get hired and fired from.
Yeah.
Because wrestling fans would get fired all the time. But like Scott Hall did a really good job of making you hate him when you're supposed to hate him, but also making you cheer him when you're supposed to cheer him.
Right.
Talking about some of Scott Hall's greatest rivals, who would come to mind for you?
His greatest rivals?
Yeah.
I mean, Shawn Michaels would be the first one to come off the top of my head.
All right, well, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Shawn Michaels.
Clint, yeah. Name a guy that's not Shawn.
Name a guy?
Yeah.
I will go with Sting. I mean, Uncensored was, like, the best match I thought, so I was going with Sting.
They had a lot of good matches.
And a lot of them,
yeah.
Yeah.
How about you,
I'll say Goldberg. Goldberg.
Yeah, they had some matches.
They did. And I really think Scott was, like, the first, like, actual good wrestler that Goldberg actually got in the ring with.
Yeah.
Well, besides Saturn.
Yeah.
How about Brett?
I think Brett's up there.
Do they have any good matches?
Yeah. With Scott Hall? I named one earlier. Do you not listen to this show?
No.
No, they had a couple. I'd put Waltman in there, too. I'd put the kid in there.
Yeah. I wouldn't put Nash in there because I don't think they really had good chemistry.
Not really as opponents, no. They were a good tag team.
Yeah.
But I'd say him and Michaels is probably his top one. But who remembers the baby match with him and 1-2-3 Kid?
Oh, my God. That's actually an underrated pay-per-view.
The diaper match?
The crybaby match.
Yeah.
I don't remember
you
that.
You knew right then and there that Waltman's, like, they were never going to try to push that son of a bitch again.
I don't know why they turned him heel in that thing.
Yeah, which, by the way, you had Scott Hall, who's 6'5", maybe 6'6".
Yeah.
Build is 6'7". You know, 290 pounds. You have Sean Waltman, 6'2", 220. Oh, yeah, Waltman is a clear heel in this one. Like,
Sean Waltman, a heel?
Yeah, Waltman was a heel. X-Pac.
Oh, yeah. I mean, against Scott Hall, I didn't think that would ever happen.
Yeah, no, it was he turned on Razor. In late '95, they had a feud, and it really didn't make sense though. I mean, the match was good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the match was really good. It was a weird gimmick, but it was fun. He was a part. I mean, this man was part of the first ever documented ladder match in WWE.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was a fucking great match. One of the greatest matches of all time.
It was. I mean, they still ruined Bob Holly's WrestleMania payday.
That's why Bob Holly hates him still.
Oh, my God.
But Bob Holly, I mean, probably a good guy, but I like Scott Hall better.
Scott Hall is actually a nice guy in real life, too, so. Oh, I mean, was.
Yeah, you met him.
Yeah.
Besides being a part of the clique, I think he really should be known for his ring work and his work ethic, because he put on, you know, four or five-star matches all the time. And the Razor's Edge is one of the best finishing moves of all time.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, a lot of people say that the Razor's Edge is, like, very dangerous.
Yeah.
But Scott also knew how to execute it correctly.
Yeah. It's really not that dangerous.
Oh, and Sheamus used to use it. Sheamus almost used to break guys' necks.
Yeah.
And Mike Austin, well, Mike Austin was supposed to kill people, especially since he worked in ECW. But, like, you know, Scott did the move with, you know, so smooth. And then, you know, Damian Priest uses it now. And, you know, to be honest with you, he
was using the, what was it? He was using something else before he changed it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, he was using the Crossroads. And then, obviously, because the son of some former wrestler was making a return to the company, you know, some guy that's probably going to be a jobber in about 4 or 5 months, as Pixie Dust. They had to.
Are you making fun of Cody again?
Yes.
Wow. Go ahead.
Cody's the man.
Yeah. Until they put him back in that
Stardust.
Apparently, he made them promise they wouldn't do it. I think that was in his contract, actually.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Vince McMahon is 155 years old. He ain't going to remember. He probably doesn't even remember, you know, what he had for breakfast this morning. How the hell is he going to remember a promise he made? He's made so many promises over the years that he's broken.
Yeah.
And Nick Khan and Bruce Prichard are too busy sucking on his saggy balls, so they're not going to keep their word for anything.
Right.
But anyway, but yeah, so Damian Priest uses the Razor's Edge now, and he actually does pretty good, and I actually think Damian Priest might be the second coming of Scott Hall.
Really?
Yeah.
That's high praise.
Yeah, I could see that.
You think so?
He has that look.
Yeah, he does. Let's talk about his Intercontinental title reign and how infamous, well, not infamous, but how famous that was. Record setting, Doug. Get into it. Right now.
Four times Intercontinental champion. You know, first won the title because Shawn got suspended. And then, obviously, you know, became the undisputed Intercontinental champion, then beat Diesel for his second Intercontinental title run, beat Jeff Jarrett for his third, even though that only lasted a day, and then beat Dean Douglas for his fourth run. He's one of the original people that put that title on the map. Because, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you know, Brett put the title on the map, or Perfect put the title on the map. No, I think the most famous Intercontinental champion in the early to mid-90s was Razor.
I'd agree. I think Scott really legitimized it, and I think he's one of the reasons it's the worker belt, you know?
Yeah.
Because he always put on a good match for the Intercontinental title.
I mean, Brett did too, but also, you know, Brett held the title twice. Razor held it four times. And Razor, you know, had a lot more hurdles to jump.
Yeah.
When he was champion, because the work rate of the guys, you know, in that era wasn't really that good.
Yeah.
I mean, having to defend a title against Bastion Booger.
Which is just, I mean, that's you if you ever make it in the WWE.
That's me if I ever make it in the WWE and don't shower for 3 years.
So that's you if you don't ever make it in the
WWE. Fuck you! Only because you outweigh me by a pound.
So you outweigh me by a pound.
Oh, that's what I meant.
That's the point.
Yeah. But, like, and then other guys, like, he defended the title against Yokozuna, Mabel. I mean, all these big guys that, like, Undertaker would eventually face at, like, WrestleMania or some shit. So him and Undertaker were both getting punished.
They all got the dirty jobs.
Yeah. We're talking about Bashing Booger again. Dirty jab.
No, but yeah, I think he did a lot for both companies that he was at. I know people, you know, say maybe he started not to care at WCW, but I think he did a lot for that company too.
He started not to care, but it's also kind of hard to care when your life is kind of crumbling around you.
Yeah.
Like, when you're pretty much, like, when your life is kind of crumbling around you and you really don't know what to do, like, your wrestling performance is kind of the last thing that should be on your mind. And, like, but he still, like, when he would get in the ring, it still looked like he did care. So, like, he still gave a damn.
Yeah, he did. He for sure did. Anybody else got any big Scott Hall, like, memories or anything they want to reminisce on, Eric?
No. Just a ladder match with Sean.
That was a classic.
In the video. And then a little feud with Stone Cold at WrestleMania. Stone Cold at Mania, right? 18?
Yeah, at 18. Sharon and I were there.
Talk about it.
Well, it was a match. You talk about guys that didn't really have their heads in the game. That was Austin. I don't think he gave a fuck about being there. And you could tell, and Scott Hall really wasn't in the best ring shape, but he sold the shit out of those stunners.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
pretty
dude.
Sure he got. I'm pretty sure he got hit with like five or six of them.
So, would you think he would have sold the stunner better than The Rock did, or do you think The Rock was still number one compared? Yeah.
I still think so Rock is number one sell when it comes to stunners.
And Vince is the worst now.
I don't know. No, I go Vince for the top.
After the way he refused to sell the stunner last, well, I mean, he's 155.
He's taken two of the worst stunners of all time. Because the first one he ever took was shitty, too.
Yes.
But at least he made it for that one. This one, Austin had to reach back for him.
Yeah.
So the first ever stunner Vince took was the worst, and the last one he scored. It's worse.
That almost makes me think that he didn't know it was coming.
Probably. I mean, he's an old man, so.
Yeah, he's so fucking old and senile. He probably thought he was wrestling at Starcade last week.
That was good.
Thank you. But, you know, as far as Scott Hall go, and Scott Hall also, too, like, he was never one of those guys that, like, always felt like he had to win. Like, he put over guys in WCW that really, like, there was no need for them to put, for him to put them over, but he still did. No, he like you said, like I said earlier, Hector Garza and you know other people.
Jericho.
He did he, at the time. He definitely didn't need to put Jericho over, but he did it because he thought it was the right thing to do.
Well, because he was also trying to build on the storyline with Larry Zbyszko.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Nash even tells a story. Scott Hall was supposed to win that match. And he said, he goes, well, aren't I building something with Zbyszko? And they're like, well, yeah, but it's Jericho. Like, we're not doing anything with him.
Yeah.
So just go over. And he's like, no, Jericho can beat me. I'll beat the hell out of him after. And then Zbyszko can come out and help him, and it'll elevate my story with Zbyszko.
Yeah.
So he always found a reason for him to put guys over, and that's the funny thing. That's why he's actually my favorite member of the clique.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he knew the benefit of other guys going over besides him. I mean, if Kevin Nash were told to put somebody over, he'd fake a heart attack and no show.
Yeah.
If Triple H were told to put somebody over, he would just marry the boss's daughter and then have the guy buried. Shawn Michaels was just a dick. And Sean Waltman, well, Sean Waltman, you know, put guys over for like 7 years in a row anyways.
So. Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I Razor's my favorite member of the clique, too. I think he's just a consummate professional when it comes to working in the ring. And even when he had trouble, he still showed up to work and did what he had to do.
Yeah.
And it was always fun watching Scott Hall wrestle.
Yeah, and What's funny too is, you know, we talked about how good the 93 Rumble match with Brett was. That wasn't supposed to be Scott. That wasn't supposed to be Razor's.
Right.
That was supposed to be the Ultimate Warrior.
And why couldn't he do it?
Oh, wow.
Well, because he got fired. He got fired because apparently, for some reason, Warrior figured, the company I'm working for is under investigation for steroids. I'm going to go ahead and order me some. Him and Bulldog both thought that was a good idea. And then when the guy they were ordering from got busted, he called Vince and said, hey, just so you know, I'm ordering steroids for a guy, but he just got arrested. And Vince is like, you know the government is trying to shut my ass down, right? And Warrior didn't give a shit, so Vince is just like, all right, yeah, fuck you, you're out. And it's funny too, when Warrior and Scott Hall were inducted into the Hall of Fame same year, and that day. You know, Warrior, they were doing this whole documentary for Warrior, you know, him getting documented into the Hall of Fame. Warrior spent most of the day talking to Scott Hall. And I don't think they really knew each other at all.
Really? Wow.
But, like, they spent most of the day talking to him. Well, because Warrior didn't think he was really going to get along with anybody. Because Jake still had issues with him that went back like 13 years. And, you know, he didn't want Hogan to come near him. So it's like, who else am I going to fucking talk to? It happened to be Scott Hall.
It's funny that those two got along at the end.
Yeah, they were just, like, if you actually look at it, like, they were actually having quite the conversation. And Kevin Nash hated the Warriors.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash is a douche.
Yeah, but he's funny. What, Glennis?
No. Let's see. Did we? You guys didn't talk about this one match. I do remember. It's like, it doesn't get much credit for, and that's the one he had against the 1-2-3 Kid on Monday Night Raw for the Intercontinental title. Or was it? I know it was a Raw, but he took on a 1-2-3 Kid as Razor Ramon and a young X-Pac, Sean Waltman, whoever you want to call him. And that match was really good.
Are you talking about when Kid beat him for the first time?
No, didn't they fight for the title, too?
I can't remember.
I think I know what you're talking about. That went wrong with.
No, it was back in, like, it had to be, like, 94, 93.
Yeah, 93 was, no, I think they did have a match for the Intercontinental title when Razor first won it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he gave him a shot.
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was for a title. I know they had a match on Raw, though.
Yeah. I mean, he was Kid's first victory. But that
I remember
was like,
that one.
That was like in the early days of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were they tag team champions together?
Nope. No, they went for the title several times, but they never won it.
Yeah, absolutely. Does anybody else have any, you want to give final thoughts on Razor and what we thought of his career? I'll start with you, Eric.
A great wrestler. I think underutilized at times, especially in WWE and WCW. I think he should have won a world title. I think he should have had at least one title run. He's one of those guys that one of the best didn't ever win the title up there with Mr. Perfect. It's a shame that he never won a world title in any company, right? Not even NWA?
No. He never won the title.
Yeah.
He was a world champion in Puerto Rico.
Probably top three. Probably top three in my book. He never win a world title. But rest in peace, Scott Hall. He's going to be missed. And he was truly a legend.
All right, Clintus, what do you got for final thoughts?
My final thoughts, I think Scott Hall. One thing I'm all going to do, he was always excellent on the mic. The hey yo is just perfect. And how he always sucked the crowd in. It was cheering and cheering for WCW versus NWO. Excellent work at the tag team with Kevin Nash and the fraction leader. I mean, you can't say no more. Those are mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Still one of the best pictures I've ever seen and best images of pro wrestling is when he beat Shawn for the title in the ladder match and he's doing the pose on top of the ladder.
With both belts.
Razor was the man, probably the greatest to never win a world title. One of the best Intercontinental champions of all time. And we will be doing a top 10, 20 of matches and moments on him at some point. But this is a nice tribute. Doug, take us home.
Okay. He is probably one of the most underrated workers of all time. And again, when his head was, even when his head wasn't straight, like you couldn't really tell. I mean, people would point it out and all that, but like, he just, he knew when to separate business from personal.
Yeah.
And he made guys look good. He made guys look like $1 million. I mean, well, everybody except for Kevin Nash, he couldn't make Nash look like $1 million. He could make Nash $1 million.
He did a couple times.
But he couldn't make Nash look like $1 million unless it was $1 million in Monopoly money. But, I mean, think of the guys he's elevated. Sean, Brett, Sting, you know, Luger, you know, Kid, Dallas Page, Chris Jericho, Kurt Hennig, Kidman, Hector Garza. You know, he did a lot for Booker T early on.
Right.
Okay. He knew how to elevate guys, and he knew how to bring out the best in them. And, I mean, he had his demons, but everybody had their demons.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a sad way for him to go. I mean, complications from surgery.
Yeah. It is sad. It is inspiring, though, that he beat those demons. And he always fought the battle, and he will be missed.
Yeah. And you talk about a guy that really loved the business. Yes, you could say he was a political player. But he also knew when to sweep the politics aside and just think about other people.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these days Kevin Nash will figure out how to do that.
We can't end on a jab. Say something else nice.
Scott Hall's a better worker than Kevin Nash.
Very good. R.I.P. Scott Hall. 100% this was a great time, guys. 100% facts. What are we doing next week?
The April 14th, 1997 edition of WCW Monday Nitro. Public Enemy versus High Voltage in a Philadelphia street fight.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's just too sweet.
And we will see everybody next week. Have a good one.
All right. Bye, guys.
Later.
Later.
The end of NWO.